Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Please be seated. We're nearly halfway through the season of Lent, and today, the third Sunday in Lent, serves as sort of a capstone to everything we've heard in this first half, namely, how the devil and God are at war with each other, and yet, despite the devil's raging, he has no chance, no hope of victory. Christ overcomes the devil. And yet, we have also learned over these first 3 weeks in the Lenten season, our eyes do not always behold this victory. We don't always feel this victory in our hearts. We don't always seem to experience this victory in our lives. Again, we've heard to this point what seems to be apparent to our eyes, to our emotions, to our experiences, that the devil is actually friendly. And God seems to be our worst enemy, when in fact we know the opposite is true. The devil is truly evil. God is our dearest friend. He desires the highest good for us. Again, what we see, what we feel, what we experience is very often at complete odds with what is true. The problem is us. We are all conceived and born sinful and under the power of the devil, and therefore, by nature, our eyes, our emotions, our experiences are tainted, corrupted by sin, to the point that what should be obvious to us is very foreign to us. To make things worse, those things that should be received by us with gladness are rejected by us, while those things from which we should flee very quickly are often those things that we embrace. This comes out in our scripture lessons today. First, in our Old Testament lesson, we hear of the third and fourth plagues that struck the land of Egypt. Before our Old Testament lesson, the water turned to blood in the land and frogs covered the land. And then, as we heard today, gnats came from the dust of the earth, and then flies covered and afflicted both man and animal. And yet, through it all, Pharaoh refused to listen to the word of the Lord as proclaimed by Moses. He hardened his heart, as we heard today. Even his own magicians got to the point of acknowledging that these plagues were not the works of men, but rather wrought by the finger of God himself. That is to say, these acts were acts of God that no human being could possibly perform, and therefore must not be ignored. And yet again, Pharaoh wouldn't listen, not even to his own magicians. His heart remained hardened. As we know from the rest of the book of Exodus, Pharaoh's heart became harder, harder, harder. So finally, God turned him over to this hardness of heart. Much the same happens in our gospel lesson this morning. The crowds see Jesus acting with divine power and authority, casting out a demon that rendered a poor man mute. When that demon had gone out, the mute man spoke, and the people marveled. But that doesn't mean they believed in Jesus. Some in the crowd said, "He casts out demons by Beelzebul, the prince of demons." Beelzebul meaning Lord of the Flies, or perhaps just quite simply, Lord Baal. They accused Jesus of being in league with Satan, and by Satan's power, casting out demons. For others in the crowd, this miracle just wasn't quite good enough. They needed a little bit more proof. They needed a little bit more evidence. So they kept seeking from Jesus another sign from heaven. But no matter how many signs and wonders they would see, no matter how many words and teachings with authority they would hear, they would steadfastly refuse to believe in Jesus. And in time, as we will hear in a few weeks, they would cry out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" But this rejection of what should be plainly obvious isn't limited to the past. It's not limited to the Old and New Testaments. It still happens today. The words of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1 describe the perennial condition of sinful man. That is to say, God has clearly shown his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and his divine nature in the things that have been made. And yet, we know very well still today, man rejects those things that should be plainly obvious, and thus rejects his Creator. Again, the work of God should be plainly obvious to anybody who looks outside their window. You look in the sky at night, see the multitude of stars in the heavens. When you look on earth, see the grandeur of the mountains and the seas. When you look at yourself, see the miracle of life. One ought to fall to his knees and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he is my Creator, and therefore I ought to serve and obey him. Thank and praise him. But as Paul goes on, though mankind knew God, they did not honor God or give thanks to God. And so they became futile in their thinking, their foolish hearts were darkened. And what Paul describes, again, this is found in Romans chapter 1, very clearly describes the state of the world today. Pursuing unnatural relations, things that must not even be mentioned, sins upon sins, darkness in the heart and in the mind. Darkness, again, even in our own eyes and feelings, experiences. All because sin has rendered us by nature futile, foolish, and under darkness. Again, to the point that the devil will appear to be your best friend and God will appear to be your worst enemy. To the point that plagues of blood and frogs and gnats and flies weren't enough to convince Pharaoh that Moses had been sent by God himself. That deliverance of a poor man from demonic affliction would lead many to think that this miracle worker was actually the tool of the devil. Or that he needed to do a few more miracles to make it true and plain. Again, still today, that there is no creator, no God, no plan, no purpose, no end. Therefore, whatever dishonorable passions you want to pursue, you can. Not only doing them, but giving approval to those who do the same. Truly, we would be lost and condemned forever, unless delivered from sin, death, and the power of the devil. Wretched men we are, Paul writes later in that epistle to the Romans. But, as we have also heard in this season of Lent, Christ has claimed you as his own. The Father of all mercy and grace has sent his Son, Jesus Christ, who atoned for your sin and for the sin of the whole world, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He came to save you. Save you from sin. To save you from death. To save you from the power of the devil. And in this regard, Christ Jesus came not just to save you, but also he came to destroy the works of the devil. And so, as Jesus testifies in his ministry, he came not to bring peace, but a sword. With that sword, he disarmed the rulers and the authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them. And still today, God's will is done when he breaks and hinders every evil plan and purpose of the devil. And so Jesus describes this work of conquering, of victory today in our gospel lesson, calling Satan a strong man. And it's true, like we sing in that great Lutheran hymn, with might of ours cannot prevail, nor are our loss affected. Satan is a much stronger man than any of us. We cannot resist his craft, his schemes, his lies, and his temptations by our own strength. Jesus, he says. Jesus, he is the stronger man. With just a finger, kind of like that same hint, with just one little word, the devil is felled. With the finger of God, Jesus has destroyed the works of the devil. He did so by loving us and giving himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. By his suffering and death, he attacked and overcame the devil. He took away the armor in which he trusted. Death, the book of Hebrews says that the devil is the one who once held the power of death. And yet it was by death that Jesus conquered the one who had the power of the death, power of death, that is the devil, and delivered us from death and hell. As we'll hear in the liturgy in a few weeks, it was by a tree in the garden that the devil overcame our first parents, Adam and Eve. And so likewise, it was by the tree of the cross that Christ Jesus our Lord overcame the devil. Satan is the accuser who not only deceives and misleads us into great shame and vice, but then would lead us to despair over those sins. And yet, it was by bearing our shame, taking our sin upon himself, suffering the just wrath of God, that Satan is silenced. For Jesus Christ has paid it all. He has redeemed us from all sins, every iniquity. And having overcome the devil, he has divided the devil's spoil. That is us, you and me. For we were once the devil's plunder, his treasure, captive to him. And yet, Christ has delivered us from the domain of darkness. He has transferred us into his blessed heavenly kingdom. He has led a host of captives, given gifts to men. We are truly redeemed, set free from the devil, wicked lies, become heirs of the kingdom of heaven. Dear children of God, for with that very same finger by which he destroyed the works of the devil, he puts God's gifts into our hearts. He does it all. Through the Holy Spirit, our eyes are opened to see and to regard the works of God as truly divine for our good. He, as we pray, creates in us a clean heart and renews a right spirit within us, so that we might rightly regard all that Jesus has done. By his pure teachings, by giving us a new mind, we are able to regard what we experience rightly. That is, we come to know that all that the devil promises, wonderful as it may seem, but lies. All that God sends, yes, even the heaviest of crosses, are sent because he is a loving Father who desires our highest good. This we know through the Word. We've been called by the Gospel. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. And so Jesus declares, blessed are those who hear the Word of God. For this reason, again, as we've considered over the course of this Lenten season, next to fasting and almsgiving, traditional discipline for us Christians during the season is prayer and hearing the Word of God. This discipline far surpasses the others, as good as they might be. They are fine outward training. But to hear the Word of God is the most blessed thing that you can do as a Christian, not only during the season of Lent, but all the time. Come to church, to sit in these pews, to hear the word as it is proclaimed, to hear as it is taught. Come throughout the week and sit with your fellow Christians and dive into the word of God, to study it, to take it to heart, to open your Bibles in the home, your family members, or on your own. Make the word of God your daily food and drink, by which you are strengthened in your faith. Blessed are those who hear the word of God. But we must also note that today in our gospel lesson, there's a warning a warning that we must take very seriously, every one of us. Dare not ever reject or fall away from that word. For even if we have once come to faith, and yet through neglect, through sin, we do not remain with Christ, we will find ourselves standing against Christ, back on the devil's side. For though we have been created in Christ Jesus, a new man daily emerges and arises to live before God in righteousness and purity forever, still the old Adam remains. His eyes, his emotions, his experiences continue to wage war against the new man and the faith that comes from hearing the word of Christ. Jesus says, one whose house has been swept clean and put in order, that is, has been cleansed by the gospel, washed clean in holy baptism, and yet remains empty, that is, without the Holy Spirit, without the word of God, without faith, prime real estate for the devil and his demons to come and enter and dwell, making the last state of that person worse than the first. And so also in our epistle lesson, Paul warns the Ephesian Christians, and all Christians, to avoid sins like sexual immorality, impurity, and covetousness, which without repentance will rob you of your inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Or as it is written in the epistle to the Hebrews, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. On the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years, therefore I was provoked with that generation. And I said, they always go astray in their heart, they have not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take heart, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm, the end. Again, Hebrews chapter 3. So our gospel lesson concludes this morning. Not just blessed are those who hear the word of God, but rather, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Scriptures admonish us, encourage us, command us, let the word of God dwell in you richly with all wisdom. Indeed, Jesus promises that if anyone loves him, he will keep his word, and his Father will love him, and they will come and make their home with him. And again, we remain, we abide in his word, then we are truly his disciples. We shall know the truth, and the truth will set us free. Again, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, as we come now to the halfway point of the season of Lent, a turning point, we might say, in the season of Lent, take these words to heart. Blessed are those who not only hear the word of God, but especially those who keep the word of God. Keep the word of God, dear Christians. It is your greatest treasure. And then the heart will not be empty. The devil will find no room to enter there. For there in the Christian, through the word, the Spirit dwells. Not just the Spirit, but the Father and the Son as well. Dwelling, even Jesus says, making their home with the Christian. At one time you were darkness, says the Scriptures, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Walk as God's beloved children. That is, walk in the Word of God. Hear it, read it, pray it, share it, meditate on it. Let it fill you. But then we rightly pray, my eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he will pluck my feet out of the net. Someday our eyes and our experiences and our feelings will be this: seeing Jesus face to face in glory, knowing the peace that will never be robbed from us, having joy and gladness that has no end. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.